like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. And once again, don't forget to like that Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and your school may be the next one right here in our spotlight. Once again, we're continuing our conversation with Barbara Kosker-Thorne. She's a speech pathologist, and we're talking about some of the things that parents could look for early on. And, you know, listen, speech is very, very important, Barbara, because people do judge you based on how you speak.
Yes,
and,
that's correct.
And when you get into a school age setting, and it's not like we're trying to scare folks or whatever, but, you know, listen, kids could be cruel. And if you have a speech impediment beyond a certain age, you know, this is a cause for kids getting picked on or bullied, if you will. But it if it's not addressed early and has long term impacts, I mean, it can really impact that person's life in a major way, because, again, no matter what folks say, you are judged immediately when you open your mouth and you start to speak. People are going to judge your intelligence, your background, based on how you sound. So speaking is incredibly important, and the earlier the intervention, the better. I think we covered that in the earlier segment.
Yes.
So in a school age setting, if I'm a parent and I have, you know, a second grader, and I know that there's an issue, by the time they're school age, now you need to advocate for services from the school district. And sometimes the school district will have services in-house, or they may contract outside.
Yes.
So take a parent who is totally unfamiliar with the process as to what they need to do.
Well, if you have concerns about your child's development, speak with your child's doctor. And I had mentioned it earlier, go to American Speech Hearing Association,
ASHA.org, right?
Yes, that's correct.
ASHA.org.
And they give some good guidelines about speech and language development. Once the children are school age, the services go through the school district. And through the school district, they can decide what testing needs to be done for your child.
What if you disagree with the decision at a school district? If the school district turns around and says, no, your child's fine, they're going to outgrow this or whatever, you know, they scored a certain amount or whatever, we just don't think they're in need of services. And you as a parent, right? Nobody
yes.
knows their child better than their parent. You as a parent say, I just disagree with that decision. What's the next step?
Parents are the best advocates for their children. If they really feel that there is an issue with their development, they should push for it. Go back to the doctor, ask for further testing.
Maybe an independent evaluation by an outside agency?
At a private agency.
Right.
Just because the child scores well on one test doesn't mean that they don't have difficulties in another area. Maybe another area that they need some more help in.
So we mentioned earlier, too, that boys develop differently than girls with their muscles around their mouth. Again, I experienced this firsthand as a parent.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that boys will typically have a hard time with, some of the words? I know my son had a real hard time with R's, right? And we practice Roethlisberger, you know, forever, because the person that he was working with at the time said, that's a really good name to practice. So he became a Patriot fan later on in life. But
yes.
Ben Roethlisberger, I think we heard his name at the dinner table like 20 times a night. But what are some of the...
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect.
So
what are some of the sounds that boys will try to make, or even young ladies try to make, that they tend to have difficulty with that could be easily overcome with some techniques that you teach them?
Well, some sounds, R is definitely a tricky one. That's also a later sound in as far as development goes. I had said earlier the P's and the B's come early on. The R's and the L's come later. And what happens is if that child produces that R as a W and says wed instead of red, once they get into that school age and they have to start reading and writing, they write it as W-E-D. So that's why speech and language therapy is so important, and the intervention once they get to school age. Practice makes perfect, and carryover at home is very important for the parents to work with the children anytime they get.
And what would be one of the techniques that you would tell a parent, okay, your son is saying wed instead of red. What are some of the things that you would say at home? Work with this, or is it slowing down? Is it breathing? I mean, what would you tell them?
Slowing down, thinking about it, showing them the different letters in print so they can understand that there is a difference between them.
That's a great point. Showing the word in print as opposed to just pronouncing it, the printed word and the verbal word at the same time.
Practice in front of a mirror, proper tongue placement.
Practicing, explain that to me, because I've heard that before. Practicing in a mirror, what are they trying to see in the mirror that they can help correct? The position of their mouth and like you said, the placement
of the
tongue?
Yes, how far the mouth is open, if the lips are pursed or relaxed.
Right.
And tongue placement.
Okay. Now, do you oftentimes find that there might be something that needs more than just, you know, your skills and your techniques, that there might be something even more underlying that they may need further medical attention with that could be causing the speech impediment after some interventions?
Possibly. If a child has something called a tongue thrust where they have lisp and right. the S sound causes their tongue to come out of their mouth every time they say it, they possibly might need some sort of orthodontic work a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, and lisp is something that is very common with a lot of kids too. So sometimes it could just be development of the muscle or where they're placing the tongue and just certain skills to teach them that. But sometimes you might say, you know what, you need to see a dentist, and there might be some orthodontal work. That's interesting to hear too. So again, what made you get into this line of work, if you will?
I have a nephew who has cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and autism. I was going to St. Joseph's for my bachelor's degree in teaching, and saw some sessions with my nephew and his speech therapist at his home. And I said, wow, children really do need somebody to help them have a voice. I want to be part of that. And I can still, I switched my major over to speech communications. I can still work as a teacher, but I can work in a smaller setting. I can work one-on-one with children and help them develop that voice that they need, that communication. And the great thing about speech is you can work with somebody who was just born, and you can work with somebody who's 98 years old.
You know, I didn't even think about the older generation, right? Somebody suffers a stroke.
Yes.
So they're going to receive speech pathology services, because if the stroke impacts their speech and their muscles around their mouth or whatever. It's not just for kids and school-age kids. Now, you're a speech pathologist in English, but you also work in Spanish as well. Is that correct?
Sí, hablo español.
Wow. So how different is the technique? Is the techniques and like some of the difficult? It's got to be totally different. Yes.
No, the techniques are the same.
They're the same.
The techniques are the same.
Do you find that the same problems with the R's? The language doesn't matter. It's the formation and the sounds is similar.
The formation and the sounds, and that back to that early language development that we were talking about before. If a child, it doesn't matter if they speak English, Spanish, Russian, it doesn't matter. If at about a couple months of age, they're not looking for mama or turning their head to mama's voice or pointing to pictures in a book or hitting those milestones, a speech and language delay is a speech and language delay, no matter what your primary language is.
That's interesting. Okay. So now, you know, I'm listening to the show, and I might be a student who's a junior or senior and trying to think about, you know, professions I might want to go to school for or get into. Mm-hmm. How does one go about becoming a speech pathologist, and what are some of the good schools locally that you would say there are some good solid programs if you want to get your master's degree to work in a school setting for that?
All right. Well, some local schools on there are only two on Long Island, Adelphi and Hofstra. Right in Queens is St. John's. Those schools offer the master's program. ASHA.org also has more information about what schools, let's say you want to go away to school because you have an aunt that lives in another state. You can go to ASHA.org, look up what state you might move to or transfer to and what schools offer the programs.
Okay. And, you know, to become a speech pathologist, what is the pathway to do that?
Well, you need a master's degree. You can actually also go on for a doctorate degree as well. So you would have to get your undergraduate degree, your bachelor's degree, and then apply to a two-year program that carries the master's degree.
Now, what are some of the longer-term or long-term challenges, if left unchecked and no early intervention, do you see if somebody's got a real big impediment?
Well, it could be a speech or language. A speech or language delay. We talked about the sounds, producing that R sound. If you're producing it as a W, it'll impact your reading and writing. If you have a language delay where you have difficulty expressing your thoughts, ideas, and feelings, or understanding others' thoughts and feelings and directions, you may not be able to follow directions in the classroom.
It's been an interesting conversation. Thank you very much, Barbara Koska Thorne, speech pathologist. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And again, ASHA.org, A-S-H-A.org for more information. This is Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and LINewsRadio.com. Until next time, this is Bob Vecchio saying thanks for joining us.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.